When I first arrived at Roseville Uniting Church, which is a little bit over 6 years ago now, believe it or not, one of the first people that I met was a tall, well-presented lady with the bearing of someone who had enjoyed a professional life. She introduced herself, and quite early on in our conversation, she informed me that she was my designated pastoral carer. And I did not know what to make of that. I hadn't had a pastoral carer as such in my previous church. And although I know that I did have one while I was training at college, I don't think I actually ever met them. I certainly don't have any idea who they were. My main memory of church pastoral carers was of an awkward conversation long before I started to train for the ministry. One of those conversations where you're not actually sure quite what's going on. And only afterwards did I realise that I had just been pastorally visited. Perhaps there was something in my personal and professional arrogance when I arrived at Roseville that I didn't think that pastoral care was something that really applied to me, at least not on the receiving end. That well-presented lady, of course, was Jan. And one thing she did was to totally change that attitude in me. Our theme this week in our series, We Have Seen the Lord, is we have seen the Lord in the community of God's people. And in some ways, I feel as if it's the easiest, the most obvious of the ways in which we can say that we see the Lord. We, living 2,000 years after the events recorded in the Gospels. We often quote Matthew 18:20, where Jesus makes that promise, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. We quote it as a way of expressing that sense, that truth, that there is something about the gathered community of the people of Jesus that makes Jesus more real to each one of us. For some, I know that that's especially true when we gather around the table for communion, an act of remembering that Jesus himself described, sharing the elements together in memory of him, a way of bringing back to mind, of reminding ourselves, of making real once again all that we know of the risen Jesus. The experience of the early church that we heard described in that reading from Acts chapter 2 is of a very radical making known of the risen Jesus in the community of his people. Here were people who had, in some cases, actually seen for themselves the risen Jesus, and many who had heard it directly from those first witnesses. And they shared with the world that message in powerful witness. And they did that in proclamation directly, actually telling people. We hear many of those stories in the book of Acts, but in this short reading, that's not what we have. We don't hear the good news of the resurrection. We have seen the Lord being spoken. We see it being lived. And we read that every day their numbers grew as the word, we have seen the Lord, spread. That idea that they didn't always say they just lived, that's an idea that we in the Uniting Church are rather fond of, that we don't have to necessarily tell people about our faith. Instead, we live lives that demonstrate it. I honestly don't think I could tell you how many times I've heard something along those lines said. I couldn't tell you how many times I've said something along those lines myself. And our reading from Acts gives us reason to think that way. It describes the way that the early church was growing in terms of the way they lived, rather than the words they said. The risen Jesus could be seen in their life together. I do, though, wonder how comfortable we would really be taking this description as a model for how one might wordlessly make known the good news of the resurrection. Because what gets described here is somewhat beyond the experience that I, and I suspect most of us, have of Christian community. Let me read some of those words again. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods, and they would distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. If we lived like that, I promise you, we would be noticed without need for words. We might actually end up the subject of a slightly cynical TV documentary, or making a splash on social media. We'd probably be seen as a dangerous cult, or at least a bunch of leftover hippies, but we'd definitely be noticed. When we read Acts chapter 2, we read of people who, going back to our reflections of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, lived lives that were far more than just the lives of good people, more than exemplary members of society. Indeed, in many ways, they were not that. They lived in a way that made the character of God, that character that they had seen in Jesus, real. The generosity of God that cares for the least, for those in need that they looked out for. The giving nature of God that shares everything, even sharing God's self in Jesus, and who does so despite what it would cost. That is a way of life that made the risen Jesus visible. People could look at and say, in these people, in this community, I have seen the risen Jesus. Community doesn't automatically make Jesus visible, but the sort of community lived above and beyond what might be expected, lived for the benefit of others, displaying the grace of God, does. And again, it's as Jesus said. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, he said that when we do whatever is needed for the least, we do it for him. When in our lives together we go above and beyond for the sake of those who are the least, we find Jesus in them. We see the Lord in those who need us, those who we serve with God's self-giving generosity. And thinking of serving the least brings me back to Jan. Back to the way that she poured herself into kids' playtime right until the very end, making Tuesday morning the one non-negotiable part of her week, driving, I believe, her doctors quite close to despair, giving her limited and failing energy in the service of the very small. And their parents, many recently arrived in Australia, finding themselves in that isolation that being a parent with a small child can certainly bring. But there's another way, a way which to my eyes was even more powerful, in which Jan taught me that in the community of God's people, I can say, I have seen the Lord. That was in the remarkable way in which she faced the reality of her own mortality, her own finitude. And what struck me about that wasn't her courage, striking though that was, or the way that she, pastoral carer, right until the end, always seemed more interested in how I was than in talking about how she was. Those were both remarkable. But even more so was the openness with which she was willing to talk about what was happening and about the nearness of her own death, a subject so taboo in our society. It was an openness that she explained to me, and she happily spoke of to others, as coming from the fact that she had no fear of what lay ahead of her. That her faith in the risen Jesus was clear enough to override all else. And I find myself able to say that in that, I see the risen Lord. Not in Jan, but as it were through her eyes, through the clarity of her vision. I guess I feel a little bit like those in the early church who hadn't seen Jesus, but knew people who had heard the news secondhand in such a way that it was so obviously real that it was almost as if they had seen it for themselves. They heard the words, "We have seen the Lord," and it was so convincing that they could say them for themselves. I know that I am richly blessed that in this community of faith, I have received the gift of that vision. Amen.